The gospel lesson is found on page 908 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together to worship you this morning. We are here for that purpose. Father, as we come, we do bring you glory and honor, for you are worthy of those things. Father, as we come, we also seek to hear your voice speaking to us through your word. We ask that you would do that now in such a way that we would be encouraged and strengthened to serve you faithfully in all we do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this past Thursday, I started my official physical therapy for my right shoulder. I was given some very basic exercises to learn so that I could do them there under supervision, as well as doing them at home twice per day, every day, on my own. The exercises are pretty simple conceptually, but they are also very painful physically. I was encouraged to be fully engaged with them as instructed so that I would benefit from them accordingly. If I did, I would find them to be the solution that I need to re-strengthen my shoulder. For me to do so would require that I trust the physical therapist knew what he was talking about and that I would see the benefit he promised. Thursday was just the starting point. Well, it's been 4 days now. I was somewhat prepared for the routine, but I was surprised that after only one day, I was already seeing a difference. Friday morning, I found myself doing things I was unable to do the day before. That quickly, I was seeing firsthand that my physical therapist could be trusted. Well, this morning, we learn of how that same dynamic applies to the basics of our faith as Christians. The Apostle Paul had traveled many miles in the course of his life given to serving the Lord, planting churches in places where there had been none, and strengthening existing churches to grow in greater faithfulness and service to the same Lord. As he traveled, he was accompanied by co-workers for the kingdom of God, among whom was the younger man known as Timothy. It is generally thought that Timothy first came to faith in Christ during Paul's first big missionary journey. Timothy's hometown of Lystra was one of the places Paul had visited. Well, some years down the road, having served with and learned from Paul, Timothy was probably in his mid-30s, and when charged by Paul to stay in the city of Ephesus to care for and strengthen the churches there. With young Timothy left in Ephesus to take on those significant responsibilities, Paul writes to him and the churches in order to encourage and instruct Timothy and the Ephesian Christians. At the heart of that encouragement is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ as heard in today's epistle lesson. In this short passage, we hear Paul's gratitude and his witness and his praise, all of that centered on the trustworthy statement which he had come to know as being so real in his own life. He put it this way: it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This trustworthy statement that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners gets at the core of what the Christian faith is all about. At one level, it sounds simplistic, but at another, it contains profound implications. It acknowledges the reality of human sin and our need for a Savior, and that Jesus is that Savior. It also brings to our attention the eternal nature of Christ, the significance of his incarnation, and the gracious breadth of the atonement. For our purposes this morning, I want to reflect on the personal relevance this has for each and all of us here. This trustworthy statement is not just some abstract notion of philosophical speculation, but a clear truth which brings good news to every person. As Paul embraces this, he does so fully aware of his own personal need, describing himself as foremost among sinners. Understand, that's not bragging. Rather, it is a confession on his part. With the confession is the awareness of how his glaring need was met by God's abundant mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. If he, Paul, could be shown mercy, anyone could be shown mercy. If he, Paul, could be saved by Jesus, anyone could be saved by Jesus. If he, Paul, could be given eternal life through faith in Christ, anyone could be given eternal life through faith in Christ. Paul had personally come to understand that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners is a truth deserving full acceptance, meaning he had embraced it for himself. But he knew it wasn't just for him, just for Paul. It is good news for everyone, and Paul was doing everything he could to make that known to as many people as possible. While it is often a hard thing to admit, we are all, each one of us, is a sinner in need of salvation. That may be hard for us to admit, because when we hear the word sin or sinner, we tend to think of horrible extremes. We think of historical tyrants like Hitler or Stalin. We think of iconic monsters like Charles Manson or Ted Bundy. We think we look pretty good in comparison to such people. But the biblical understanding of sin and sinners is not just about those extreme examples. Ever since Adam and Eve, each and every person has in some way, to some extent, turned away from God. Including, as we heard, the Hebrew people delivered from Egypt, turning away to fashion and worship the golden calf, needing Moses to intercede on their behalf. Including the respected King David, turning away to satisfy his personal desires, needing to pray for God's forgiveness and cleansing. Lost sheep who had wandered away and needed to be found by the one who came into the world to save them. The amazing good news that jumps out of this is No one is beyond the reach of salvation if they are willing to trust in Jesus as their Savior. That is the very truth expressed in the third prayer for missions in our morning prayer service as we affirm in praying, Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. What Jesus has done on the cross to save sinners is sufficient to cover, to atone for any sin and any sinner, providing forgiveness and reconciliation with God. In other words, the saving work of Christ on the cross is available to all people everywhere, but must be accepted by each person anywhere as a matter of personal faith and commitment. For those who have come to know and trust in Jesus as their Savior, our desire is to share that good news with others. It's not a matter of imposing our personal opinion on people who think differently. It is bearing witness to the truth of what Jesus has done for us so that others can come to know that for themselves. By having personally accepted the truth of the gospel and trusting in Jesus as one Savior leads to a heart full of gratitude. In the first few verses of our lesson, Paul recalls the state of his own life before what he had been before knowing Christ as his Savior. He had been a blasphemer. He had been a persecutor. He had been a violent man. Humanly speaking, Paul was beyond the pale. But God showed him mercy. Even though he thought he was doing good things, Paul had been working against God. But God showed him grace. Paul clearly understood that in Christ, God had acted to save him in a way he could never save himself. And that filled him with gratitude and freed him to serve the Lord in faithfulness in response. It is a tremendous encouragement to know that through faith in Christ, we have received God's mercy and grace, and therefore, we do not have to be paralyzed by our past. Picking up on what we heard David pray in Psalm 51, because we have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, we are clean indeed. In Christ, God's forgiveness is real and complete. In Christ, God's redeeming work is a promised certainty. In Christ, we are being transformed to live lives of growing faithfulness and enduring service for Him. Realizing the magnitude of God's action in providing for our salvation leads to mouths full of praise. In the midst of writing, Paul burst into spontaneous praise. We read in verse 17, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." See, only this God, the King who is sovereign ruler of all that is, seen and unseen, only He could accomplish what He has done. The eternal one who is beyond time and space. The immortal one who is untouched by decay and death. The invisible one who is beyond the limits of physical horizons. The only God who is beyond the claims and assertions of all supposed rivals. When we come to know and see God as He truly is, we cannot but help praise Him. And that is the wonderful privilege of the salvation we have in Christ Jesus. We do come to know God as our Abba Father in the context of living fellowship with Him. We no longer stand at a distance in fear, but we draw near in confidence as His beloved children. Can we trust in Jesus as the one who came into the world to save sinners? as Paul bears witness along with all the apostles and Christians through the ages, the answer is more than a resounding yes. It is in Christ alone that we can receive salvation. As the Apostle Peter had put it so succinctly in speaking of Jesus Christ, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." You see, our assurance is that through faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved and given eternal life as God's redeemed and beloved children. Our status and relationship with God is changed right away. But as we'll see in the weeks ahead, that is just the starting point of our new life in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we do give you thanks and praise for who you are and all you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent him into the world to save us sinners. Father, thank you that his work is sufficient for that purpose. That it is something that we can trust in as we trust in him as our Savior. Father, as we do so, let us see your ongoing work in our lives, shaping us and molding us as your people. Let us walk in that new life that Christ has given us for our sake and for the sake of your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.